decirte, honoré, es mejor soltarme, porque no quiero dañarte. Y aunque ya te advertí, aún quieres estar.
This is Bilingual Sounds 88.5 KCSN HD3 and KSBR HD3 Mission Viejo. We are a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming online at bilingualsounds.org and on the Bilingual Sounds app.
Take a lot of time. And the time will always come
Hey there, friends. Welcome to Bilingual Sounds, Support Your Local Scene. I am your host, Carissa Kelly. Hey, hi, hello. And I am here to take you through the best and the brightest of what the LA music scene has to offer. Every week, we'll showcase a local artist that has caught our eyes and our ears, play some of their material, and let them tell you in their own words what they're all about. This week, I am so happy to introduce to you Jen Awad. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. It's so good to be here. And I also hope that I capture your hearts this week.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Like, you already have. I play your music sometimes on both of my shows because I have a Thursday night and then I have this one as well. So I'm always going on and on about how fantastic you are.
Oh my God, that's so nice. We're doing a back-to-back thing. Oh, that's good. No, yeah. I really appreciate it. Oh man. Okay, I need to switch over from the French radio back to my local... As we know, I am a Valley girl. I need to show my loyalty.
Okay. So you're from California.
Yeah. I grew up in Northridge, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you did mention that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Valley girl, born and raised. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I miss it now, you know, because I'm a West Side girl, but Valley at heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So how did you find yourself in the LA music scene?
I clawed my way through. I don't think it was, I found myself really just kind of finding artists, you know, that I was really attuned to stylistically. I remember Fiona Gray and like Emma Cole and doing a show with them when I first started out. And that was my first real show, I feel like. But it was a lot of things. Like, I played The Resident with them, and then we sold out, and then, like, things kind of started to, you know, take off a bit. But if we want to go way back, I mean, the way I found myself in the music scene was being a party girl, essentially. Like, she
was...
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going out a lot, you know, so I would go to places, you know, like Dirty Laundry or you know, a lot of Houston Brothers establishments at the time, you know. So when I'd gotten my heart broken and decided to produce an EP on my own, I started to call upon the favors of the bookers of these venues. And that's actually how I started getting my first shows as well. It's been a lot. It's been a collective of everything of breaking through. You know, there's been a lot of moments that helped me break through, you know, as an LA artist, but I'm still breaking through. You know?
Exactly.
It's called longevity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've done like a retrospective of everything I've done to get to this place, and it's just insane. I give myself so much credit because I think most people would have stopped. So anyway.
But that's really how I at least define success, is like, you never fail if you don't stop trying.
Yeah, so you got to keep going.
I respect that so
Thank
much.
You. Yeah, and even when it just starts to feel like it's over, like, you know, it's that moment when you surrender and you're like, you know what, I'm done. I think this was good. Like, I think I could move on and maybe be a sensible human being. I think that's the moment when it all starts to rush in and make sense, you know, because you no longer want to be in control of everything, because I think we as human beings can be very micromanaging. I can be very micromanaging. And the second that I was just like, you know what? I don't know what my next plan is. I don't know what the next step of my life is going to be.
Interesting.
That's when things started working out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's freedom in not knowing what comes next.
Exactly. Sometimes
that's so interesting.
Yeah, when you have like, you know, a whole plan. I've always seen like 8 steps ahead of myself. I've always had this plan, and then when I'd get there, I'd be so disappointed because it wasn't what I wanted, or it wasn't how I thought I was, you know, where I would end up or how I was going to feel when I got that thing. And that's because it really doesn't matter. You know, it's more of the surprises that life throws at you that you tend to feel more gratitude for, as opposed to just, you know, having a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mad respect.
Thank you. Let's get inspirational.
That's honestly what this show is all about. I love getting like philosophical with the people I bring in.
I'm here for it. I'm down to get deep all the time. A lot of my friends, they get mad at me because when we go out, I'm like, I just want to have the deepest conversations at the party.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Maybe that's why I like to go out. I have no idea, but I feel like I can get people, you know, raw and uninhibited. So like they're just telling the truth, and as opposed to like, you know, BS pitch that like I hear a lot of the times from people trying to put on their best face. I just kind of like to see people when they're just like, you know, in their truest form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I love that.
So and let's get deep.
Yeah.
Like, how was your childhood?
That definitely comes through with your vibe. Like, you're very no nonsense. Like, the thing I love about your personal aesthetic in like the research I did before our interview, I love how confident you are, and self-assured. Like, those are my favorite things to see in an artist, because it's like you believe in what you're doing, and that makes me believe in what you're doing too.
It took me a long time to believe in what I'm doing and to even think that it really mattered to other people or to other women or anyone, you know, like any of my listeners. I didn't know. I was just trying to be, I've been trying to find myself, like, you know, and I think I've gotten to a point now where I have a pretty good idea of who I am. I'm still figuring things out. You know, we still got some personality quirks that we got to work through. but you know, we're working through it. And so like, I don't know, it's, but for me, confidence in what I wear, it's weird because it's not that I always feel the most comfortable in the choices that I've picked to go on stage, but it feels necessary. And I almost can't do, I can't wear something that feels subdued or safe or might be more body conscious, you know, but I do have dysmorphia. I do struggle, you know, and I hate, I hated that I put myself through that all these years. When I you know, look back at some of these videos I've made and even things I've shelved, you know, it was all because I didn't feel good about my body or the way I looked, and I never felt good enough. And then now I look at it, I'm like, what's wrong with you? You look incredible. Yeah. And I have so much compassion for how I felt back then. So now I just feel like there's really just no holding back now. I just need to be me. And, you know, if it's not going to be flawless, and it's going to be raw, and that's it, you know.
But that's so human.
Yeah. You know, I don't like holding back on I can't wear this because my legs look a certain way or my stomach looks strange. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is just this is what I've been given. And that's it. So, you know, everyone and myself, we're just going to have to deal with it. And that's that, you know, and we're going to move through it. You know, and embrace it instead of pick at things. It's just not a way to live life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for opening up about that and for your honesty, because I think that's also something that's really worth talking about, particularly with female performers, because we really pick people apart so much. Like,
it's brutal. And I think it's because people perceive me as, like, I'm so strong, or just, she's so opinionated, she's so out there, like, she won't care. It's like, no, I am sensitive. I do
feel
things. I have feelings. Look at the songs I've written. I've written these songs because I've been hurt. I've been hurt.
That's where music comes from, man.
I have been burned. And yes, does a Cancer moon want to spite back? Yes, we want revenge. I want revenge, but I also I was hurt.
Yeah.
And hurt people, you know? So I am sensitive when I read comments about people picking at my body and saying things. And yes, I wasn't very vocal about it because I was raised to believe that speaking on your vulnerabilities was weak. And now, you know, as a grown woman, I think we have to talk about these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, other artists, female artists, male artists even, can just feel a little bit more... just less sensitive. Well, not sensitive. I don't think that's the word, but
less self-conscious.
Less self-conscious, and let's embrace let's embrace the things that, but let's also talk about it and let's make that into a strength, you know, instead of, you know, kind of just trying to conceal it and just be like, oh yeah, I'm super like, I don't care. Everyone's trying to act like they don't care, but everyone cares.
It's not, it's no longer punk rock to not care.
Exactly.
It's now punk rock to care.
I care too much. That's the problem. You know?
I'd prefer that people care than not.
I care too much, you know, and like that's why people are like, I don't care what people think. It's like, nah, I care about it. But I think for now, in respect to my work and what I'm making, I really don't care how people feel, because in the sense of I've worked so hard to get to a place where I'm so proud of what I've done that it really doesn't matter now. It doesn't really validate me if something succeeds or whatever, because for me, it's taken so long, for instance, to get that record, Existential Daydream, out.
Yeah.
It's taken 5 years that this isn't for anyone else. This is for me. This is so cathartic, and this is just a moment for me. That's really it. And then if people vibe with what I've been through in that record, then cool. And then, like, we're aligned, and that's great, you know, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah. So we did start off with the title track of your album, Existential Dream. I love that track, and I hope you guys did too. But we're going to get back into the music now. But this next one is called Distant Memory from The Church Burglars. You're supporting your local scene. We'll be right back.
Flame, I can't take no more. always support us with a follow on Instagram. Search our handle by name. We are Bilingual Sounds.
Well, it don't take much, just a little trust. Gonna show you how to play, man. It wasn't my fault, and it wasn't my plan. Show you how to play, man. How to play.
Hey there, friends. You are supporting your local scene right here on Bilingual Sounds 88.5 HD3. That was Break a Man by the incredible Jen Awad. And we have her finally in studio with us.
I'm back, baby.
I've so been looking forward to this for a while. I've been like on my other show too, like whenever I play a song of yours, I'm like, should I get her in the studio?
Yeah, you should, because I love to talk.
You're finally here, so
I'm here. So oh my god, we're here. We've done
we're
it.
We're here.
Yes, I love the university. I love school.
So tell me a little bit about your creative process. So do you have any like writing rituals, or is it just kind of like whatever the song calls for?
You know, it really depends on the song, and it depends on the feel. So, like, you know, a lot of the songs when I started out, like, you know, Hungover, you know, or certain songs of the 60s, you know, aesthetic that I was doing, mm-hmm. I wrote a lot of those songs hungover. Like, I was really actually hungover, and because I was just in such a raw, truthful mood, yeah. You know, so sometimes I would think about something that would happen to me the night before, and it would just give me the ick, and I'd be like, oh, I gotta write about it, and then I'd just kind of have some weird catchphrase. I'm like, man, it's too bad about this, and I'm like, well, I gotta go to the piano, you know, so mm-hmm. it's something that could happen very instantaneously. And then whereas, like, for this record, Existential, like, the first song off the track is taking me, this song has taken me 10 years to finish, so, you know, I started it 10 years ago, and then, like, you know, I had a verse and a chorus, and, you know, I had someone that I was writing with at the time tell me it wasn't very good, And so I was like, okay. And then I shelved it. And then, you know, I revisited it like, you know, 4 or 5 years later. And I was like, you know, this is amazing. And I have a response to her now, because the song is about, you know, failure. And what if I'm meant to fail? What if this wasn't meant for me? What if I wasn't meant to do music? The big questions of life. Maybe my dream isn't my dream. And, you know, coming to terms with that, you know, so you don't want to confront that because you're still trying. And so I had a response to that, you know, that fear that I, when I initially wrote it, and kind of like guiding myself through it, because I kind of had like an update. So like I responded with the second verse with an update and kind of saying, you're going to go through the ringer. And then at the end, you're going to get what you want.
It's like it's like a diary, but as a song.
I have to respond to younger self, you know, like the more untamed, unruly Jen. So like I definitely talking to myself of like the future self at the end and be like, everything's going to be okay. You're all right. And so, and I think a lot of people need that sometimes. And I needed that. And I'm so glad I got to finish the song. So that's one process. Tsunami, you know, I heard chimes, you know, like, you know, wind chimes as I was walking down the street, and I heard a melody, and I was like, ooh, that's the intro. And then I heard, and then I saw tsunami warning signs on the beach one day, and I was like, baby, you're like a tsunami. And I was like, what? That's a lyric. And then like, I put it together, and it was never know when you're coming for me. I was like, whoa. You know, and then so then I would piece it together, and Tsunami took months. And then there was one hangover night that I had, and it was, I was in a mood, and the lights were all off in my apartment. I lit all the candles around, and I was in a mood.
That is a mood.
And I wrote, you know, in the opening line of Tsunami, ooh, you're a natural disaster. But it was actually originally, I'm a natural disaster. And then I made it in you. So it was about me kind of feeling messy and moody and kind of having the feels for this guy that I knew was wrong for me, but I was down to go for it. So it just really depends on the song, you know? So the process changes. But a lot of what I've been writing now, it feels like I'll write a little bit and I'll put it away. I'll keep it on my voice memo. I'll revisit it in a month or so. And then I'll rebuild and I'll layer based on the response, since, you know, I might have a little bit more insider information of how to carry forward with that song.
That's interesting, because a lot of artists that come in here, they tell me about like, this one is, you know, one of my 15-minute wonders. Like,
no.
it's crazy to... see how different the process is for everyone, because you have kind of the approach that I take with my own personal writing, is like you work on it and then you let it brew for a little bit. You let it settle.
Yeah. We put it in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
For sure. You know?
Let it bake for
a
little bit.
I like a layering piece. You know? It's like when you're making a painting. You got to let it dry a little bit and then you can kind of come back to it. That's how I feel about it. I don't like to rush it. You know? And it's weird because sometimes I'll write something so good and I'm like, got to put it away. I have to put it away. Come back to it. I'm like, why? I'm like, come back to it. That's it. Because I just feel like I want to hold that for a while, and then I'll come back when I'm ready.
That's such an interesting philosophy. We'll get more into that after the break, but this is Magic Johnson by Ugly Side Up. We'll be right back. You're supporting your local scene.
I want the online at bilingualsounds.org and on the Bilingual Sounds app.
The SoCal Sound is offering a pair of VIP passes to Innings Festival and Extra Innings Festival. Spring training celebrations with amazing music, appearances by professional baseball players, and more in Tempe, Arizona, February 21st and 22nd, February 28th, and March 1st. Headliners include The Killers, The Lumineers, Kings of Leon, Casey Musgraves, and loads more. When you step up to the plate with a $60 donation now through Valentine's Day, you'll be automatically entered to win. And in lieu of taking a thank you gift, you could elect to support our nonprofit partners aiding LA fire relief victims and pets lost during the LA fires. Please visit thesocalsound.org.
Support for Bilingual Sounds comes from our contributing members and Golden Voice presenting the Spanish-Argentine artist Nathy Peluso at the Novo on Saturday, March 15th in support of her Latin Grammy-winning and Grammy-nominated album, Grasa. Tickets are available at AXS.com. Nathy Peluso, the Novo, Saturday, March 15th.
Support comes from Bank of America Performing Arts Center, presenting Lyle Lovett and his acoustic group.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean.
The singer-songwriter Lyle Lovett is live March 3rd at Bank of America Performing Arts Center in Thousand Oaks with his acoustic group. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com.
This old porch is like a big old red and white river boat.
Support comes from CSUN Department of Theater, presenting Romeo and Juliet. Directed by Melissa Chalsma, Artistic Director of LA's Independent Shakespeare Company. This legendary love story comes to Nordoff Hall's Little Theater from February 21st through March 2nd, featuring both evening and matinee performances. Tickets and showtime information is available at csun.edu/theater or at the CSUN Associated Students Ticket Office at 818-677-2488.
Support for 88.5 HD3 Bilingual Sounds comes from our community partners, Arroz and Fun. Located at 1822 North Broadway in Lincoln Heights, near the 5 Freeway, Arroz and Fun offers a variety of Asian-inspired rice dishes, such as their Soboro Don dish, which is smoked ground chicken thighs served over rice with an egg yolk, or their vegan and gluten-free option, the Cabocha Squash Congee dish. They also serve a variety of drinks crafted by Cipota Coffee, inspired and created with Latin flavors, such as their spiced Salvadorian mocha made with cacao, cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove with your choice of milk. Arroz and Fun is open Wednesday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. More info and a full menu can be found at arrozandfun.com. That's A-R-R-O-Z and fun.com.
The SoCal Sound is supported by Treefort Music Fest, featuring Sophie Tucker DJ set, Remy Wolf, Amel and the Sniffers, the Linda Lindas, and many more. Treefort is coming to downtown Boise, Idaho, March 26th through 30th, 2025, with live music, film, tech, comedy, and more. Passes and more information at treefortmusicfest.com.
Thank you. crashing all around. Sink or swim, maybe I'm drowning for you.
Hey there, friends. You are supporting your local scene right here on Bilingual Sounds, and we have Jen Awad in the studio with us. And since we were talking about it, I played Tsunami, and I hope you guys enjoyed. So my next questions is, how do you feel your music translates from recording to the stage? Like, is there anything you ever have to improvise?
It depends. I think that It really depends on the mood that I'm in, because I'm a very moody person. So, you know, for instance, like, again, I've done this like 60s, you know, retro soul aesthetic for a long time. So I had to, you know, kind of change the songs, or, you know, to kind of match the vibe. Then when I started doing, songs from Existential Daydream, it was more 70s, so then I had to adapt those 60s retro soul songs into more of like a 70s rock.
Yeah.
So we're just going to add a little more grit. Vocally, nothing really changes, but on the instrumentation, we might just make things a little more intense or just a little bit more 60s, you know, vibes. And then, you know, sometimes I'll do a piano show, and then, you know, that's really its truest form of how those songs started. So, you know, it doesn't really feel like that. You know, I think the intensity is always there. It's just more of a transition of how the musicians want to adapt it. But I like to give them freedom, you know, in playing. So, you know, however it comes out, it comes out. No.
So also take a second to shout out your band if you play with anyone regularly.
I mean, shout out to Gretel Daniels for just being a shredder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's been by my side for many years. Sarah Ault, who has her own music project, who I love. You know, Angela Schmidt, who my backup vocal ladies, like, they keep me in check. They've helped me remember what song is next. And sometimes my lyrics. Thank you.
It's a team effort.
Yeah.
We got to make sure all the players get their airtime.
It takes a village. And top shelf brass band, Ben Asu, who has his own 12-piece. You know, they've been taking care of the brass section for me for a long time. So I got a lot of love.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. That's my shout out.
So tell me about a time you've had to completely improvise, if there ever was one.
On stage?
Or in general, like in the studio even. Like,
oh man. I mean, I'm pretty like, you know, I think that for me, I'm pretty, this sounds really like not the right word, but I can be pretty like, when I write something structurally, that's usually how it goes.
Okay, sometimes, so you like to keep things by the book.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't like to play around, but we love, you know, a happy accident here and there, but very subtle things. I can't really pinpoint, you know, a moment where it's been like, oh my God, that was brilliant. But I think for me, it's more on stage. For me, on stage, it's all improv, you know, most of the time, where something might not go a certain way. And sometimes those are the best moments, because then vocally I'll do something, you know, just to kind of throw people off of the fact that something just went wrong. You know, I've had to learn, this is a really weird story, but Mr. Chow somehow found out about my singing, and I ended up singing at his baby shower. And I was very hungover, and I was like, oh man, I just botched this. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even want to go. And this person's like, oh my God, you got to get over here. You need to sing at Mr. Chow's baby shower party. And so I'm like, all right. And so I botched Dream a Little Dream of Me by Mama Cass. I botched, Take a Little Piece of My Heart. I just botched it. There were like agents, there was all kinds of people. They're like, this is going to be great for you. Botched it. And then I remember Mr. Chow told me at the end, because he loves my voice, I don't know. And he was like, your voice has so much pain in it. And I was like, that's because I'm hungover. But it was actually, he's like, the kind of voice you have, it's like someone who's put the iron in the fire 1,000 times just to get the sound right. He said, the only thing you have to learn is how to master your mistakes.
Oh.
And how to make your mistakes look like you've actually done it on purpose and make your mistakes your strengths. So I don't really know now. So now it's like even the mistakes now feel like some of the best moments of my performances or even the recordings. So I don't know if I answered your question, but there you go.
Master your mistakes has got to be like on those like self-help Instagram.
You got to be just so good. And I meant it.
Like those like CEO mindset kind of.
It's crazy. It's really a thing though.
Yeah. You know?
And I think that saved me because I used to just beat myself up after a performance or if something wasn't good enough. And now I'm like, man, the way you did that, the way that like when that went wrong and your
Ate
voice did that, like, girl, wow, that you mastered. That, and that's a thing. And so it changes the whole dynamic of making a mistake. Because then you kind of want to. Or not really, but you know what to do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, prepared for it.
That's a fascinating way of looking at it. Thank you. Yeah,
it wasn't the answer you wanted, but there was something.
I had no expectations. But yeah, no, you came and you delivered. So Amen. What's next for your project?
So, you know, I think for me, like, Existential Daydream was something that I really didn't think I was going to release. I'd been through the ringer. There were a couple, you know, opportunities for me to get signed or managed by people that I really thought my career was going to, like, you know, just explode. I was like, finally, all this hard work's going to pay off. And I got shut down twice, you know, and I was destroyed. So now I'm self-releasing this record. I feel so good about it. And so I really do feel like my next move, now that Existential is going to be out, is that I can finally start creating the songs of this time of my life and collaborating with the people that I love and respect. I've been throwing this party in Laurel Canyon, and we call it Valley of the Dolls. It's very 60s oriented. And what's been so beautiful about it has been just giving me the opportunity to connect with singers and songwriters I really love and respect in the LA music scene. So I think the future for me is going to be doing a lot of collaborations with people and feeling very, you know, and working with the people I love locally. And then we'll just put it all together and we'll play it at the party.
And that really does speak to the spirit of Los Angeles, which is about collaboration.
Exactly.
And working with your crew.
Exactly.
Finding your crew.
Kind of going back to the brat, like, you know, the roots of why LA music scene is so beautiful. I think we've become so oversaturated with TikTok videos and content, but we really lost the core of why we do this, and it's to make important music, or music that feels important, or music that even just reflects the vibe of going to a party and you're like, what's the song I'd want to hear here? Like, you know, and like we've kind of lost touch of why we make music, and it's to create the ambiance of where we want to be. And so, like, I think that's kind of where I'm going to be. Find me there. That's where I'm at. So I think that's the next move. Who knows? Maybe there will be a tour. I have no idea. I'm going to just let, you know, the universe figure it out.
So if anyone wants to find Jen Awad, she will be in the ambiance.
Exactly.
Go find her
in the
there.
Ambiance. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm just riffing. Stop me. You can't.
So you can also plug the socials. So where can people find you online?
Oh, yeah. You can find me on all streaming platforms, you know, whatever your pleasure is. Instagram is more so my thing. I'm not really a TikTok girly, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You can follow me, but
who knows if it's going to get banned again?
Exactly. Who cares? You know, so I'm just going to keep it real on the Instagram reels. And so my Instagram is at Jen Awad, JenAwad. And yeah, that's it.
So thank you so much for coming in and giving me your time and everything. That means so much to me.
Oh my God, thank you. Actually, can I plug one more thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I just pressed like a very limited amount of 12-inch vinyls of Existential Daydream, mm-hmm. and you can buy it online at www.jenawadmusic.com.
And you definitely want to.
Like, and you want it.
Yeah. You guys,
and it paid
you
off.
Guys want this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
This
My pleasure.
Fun.
So, listeners, thank you for spending the last hour with us. Your viewership helps small and local artists gain the exposure that they so deserve, and I would love nothing more than for you to consider checking out the people I feature on the show, following them on their socials, and most importantly, to go to shows, because your presence is so much more important than you know to these super hardworking musicians.
Yeah.
And being active in your local scene is what this show is all about, and community building is my mission. So thank you for listening. I've been your host, Carissa Kelly. Come on back next week and every week thereafter at 6 p.m. and we'll be here with a fresh perspective. Good night.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A boy like you shouldn't wear a warning. Dangerous, I'm falling. It's
always support us with a follow on Instagram. Search our handle by name.
We are Bilingual Sound.
Light speed coming.